Side Hustle Show 59, how to start a side hustle consulting business that gets paid.
Welcome to the Side Hustle Show, where aspiring part-time entrepreneurs learn how to turn their side hustle dreams into reality. Because your 9-to-5 may make you a living, but your 5-to-9 makes you alive. And now, your host, Nick Loper.
Hey everybody, Nick Loper here. Welcome to the Side Hustle Show. This is episode 59, how to start a side hustle consulting business that gets paid. My guest is Kai Davis, who you may remember from way back in the archives in episode 4 of this podcast, which we called How to Quit Your Job and Move to Hawaii. Well, Kai had an awesome time in Hawaii, but he's back in his home state of Oregon, knocking out business deals, helping clients, and getting it done. The reason I brought him back on the show is because Kai is one of those people I turn to when I'm looking for advice, and our conversation always provide some really important and valuable clarity for me, as well as some actionable next steps. So you're really going to like this show. We cover everything from landing more clients, increasing your rates, getting paid to do work you used to do for free. I thought this was a really gutsy move on Kai's part. How to get clients on a monthly retainer agreement. And if you stick around to the end of the show, Kai lays out his exact 1 hour at a time plan on how he would get a new consulting business off the ground in a month. It's really good stuff. Couple five-star iTunes reviews before we get into it. This one is coming in from George Massaros from Success Harbor Podcast. He says, great job with the Side Hustle Show, Nick. Keep up the good work. I'm a fan. George, thank you for that. And this one comes in from Bionic Man 97. He says, great variety. Really enjoy the variety of topics that you cover. Well, I do too. It's what keeps it interesting. Thank you so much for those. If you want to drop in your own review, it's sidehustlenation.com/iTunes. Thank you so much for those. And with that, let's get Kai on the line. Hey, Kai, welcome to the Side Hustle Show.
Hey, Nick, glad to be here.
Welcome back, I should say. So Kai Davis, you may remember him from episode 4, I think. It was like, how to quit your job and move to Hawaii. So he's running lookshiny.com. He's a business consultant who helps his clients get found online and make more sales. And today we're talking about the business behind the business, what it takes to be a consultant, what you can start consulting on today, and how to make that a viable side hustle. So Kai, thank you so much for joining me. And let's kick it off with what makes consulting an attractive business? Like, how did you get into this thing in the first place?
You know, the most attractive thing to me about consulting is that you get to be your own boss. You could set your own rates. You could choose the projects you want to work on, be it a passion project, be it a service that business owners want. And you could just really create the lifestyle you want, work with the people you want in the places you want, and build your own business. As a sole practitioner, I've had the benefit of being able to move to Hawaii, move to Arizona, and move back to Eugene, Oregon, and just have an adventure-filled life that I wouldn't have been able to have at a standard day job.
Do you think it's something that can be done as a side hustle, as a part-time thing? Because the pushback that I get is, if I'm doing business-to-business consulting, my clients are going to expect me to be available or on call or delivering whatever it is I'm delivering within kind of those 8-to-5 hours, like within that framework.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think it definitely can be a side hustle, but it takes strength on your side to make it happen as such. So you have to be confident in saying to your clients, hey, like this is the expectation I'm bringing forward about what communication is like, what my availability is like. If that doesn't work for you, let's figure it out ahead of time. But if that does work for you, let's move forward. We can negotiate on this. You could say, hey, we really want somebody to be available like this, and you as a service provider might be able to meet that expectation. But it can definitely be a side hustle. When I started out, I was working a full-time day job, and I just picked up 1 to 2 clients on the side because I said, hey, I want to see what it's like to be a marketing consultant. I want to put the skills I'm using in my day job to use on the side, make a little extra money. And from that, I was able to grow something that was entirely a side hustle for the first year to something that's my primary business now.
That's a really, really, I think that's inspiring for a lot of people to say, hey, you know, this is what I started. It was a part-time thing. And now look, this is my business. It's official, you know. So how did you figure out what you wanted to consult on, and how can the side hustle listeners figure out the same?
So there's two ways I could really answer the question. There's the way that I started out that I see a lot of people do. And then there's sort of like the flipped pyramid approach that I recommend now and I try to preach now. So when I was starting out, I said, okay, great. What skill do I have? what skill do I have? What problem does this solve? And who do I know who has a problem that I could sell the skill to? And I was lucky that the skill I picked at the time was like, I could build websites for people and help them with online marketing and help them get found online. And I was able to start off and find client number one and client number two that way. Nowadays, with how I approach business, with how I recommend other consultants and freelancers and business owners approach it, is to start off by answering that last question first. What audience, what group of people do I want to serve? Who do I want to be working with for the next 2, 3, or 5 years? And you might say, like, I really want to help real estate agents get found online or close the sale faster. Once you identify that group, move one step down and say, okay, for that group, what recurring problem do they have in their business? What's costing them time? What's costing them money? Or what's preventing them from making more money today? Then once you figure out that problem, say, what skill do I have or what skill can I learn that solves that problem? So instead of approaching the market and saying, like, I've got a blue widget. Do you want to buy a blue widget? Do you want to buy a blue widget? Do you want to buy a blue widget? You're looking at the market first and you're saying, well, what's the group of people I want to serve? What problem do they have that I know they'll pay money for because it's a painful problem that's costing them money that they want to solve? And then how do I become enough of an expert or just become enough of a beginner, an advanced beginner with that skill to be able to solve that problem for them?
So you started off doing, hey, I've got this skill. I know how to build a website. And so tell me about those first couple paying clients that you landed.
Definitely, like how I acquire them or how to find those clients today.
Right. Like how, yeah, that's always a question. Like, how, you know, I've hung my shingle on the thing. I am now a website consultant. Now, how do I go about getting that first business?
Bingo. I think at that strategic level, you need to first go where those clients are. You don't want to just go to where your peers are hanging out. You want to say, like, well, the audience I want to serve congregates in this location. Maybe it's small business owners in my town. So you'd say, I'm going to go to the Chamber of Commerce. I'm going to go to networking meetups locally and figure out where those people are. Then talk with these people, learn about their problems, identify yourself as a consultant, as an advisor, somebody who can help them solve those problems, and meet with them, have discussions with them and see, like, well, where's their business growing and what friction are they running into? So at the strategic level, that's how I really recommend people approach it today. Finding out where those people are, talking with them and trying to unearth what those specific problems they're facing are.
And this can be in the physical world or in the online world. And you hear that kind of like, oh, you know, what blogs do they read? What forums do they hang out on? What, you know, where do they congregate online? What Facebook groups are they in? What LinkedIn groups are they in? And maybe that's, you know, a little bit lower friction than meeting somebody face to face in person, but can still be an effective way to get something done.
Absolutely. And I'd add to that list, well, what are the type of tools they use and where are the support forums for those tools? So you might say, you know, I enjoy SEO. I want to help people with SEO for their business. So what are the most popular SEO tools? Maybe it's Majestic SEO. Maybe it's SEMrush. Maybe it's SEO Moz's or Moz's tool set. Become active in those communities. Answer questions. Try to build up a reputation within that community as somebody who understands the tool, understands the problems they're facing. And then it becomes easier to say, like, well, great, we're having a conversation here. I see how I can help you. I'm available as a consultant. This is what my rates are. Let's have a call and see how I could help you. So transitioning that local authority in this online community to eventually picking up that client.
I like it. Now, how did you know? No, that's really good. That's really good. Just find the, you know, what tools are they using? I think that's worth repeating. You know, what tools are they using and what might they be struggling with those tools? Like you said, the SEO example is a perfect one. If they're using Majestic and they can't figure it out or it's not working for them, hey, you know, maybe you can offer them some advice. Like you said, position yourself as the helper, as the authority, and all of a sudden your phone starts to ring or your email starts to blow up. So.
And I'll add one more thing to that. When you start with that tool-first approach, or you're identifying people who already have a demonstrated buying behavior, people who are already out there spending money to get results. And in my mind, there's really two classes of business owners. There's people who are actively spending money on marketing or advertising to grow their business and understand that it's an investment that can and will produce a return. And there's people who aren't spending money and aren't investing money. And that second class of people, it's very hard to go after them and say like, hey, I'm a consultant. You should pay me money to help you solve this problem, because they're very hesitant to spend money. And I've spent the last 4 years definitely chasing after a few wrong trees who didn't understand how and when and why to invest in the business. And the cost was my time in pursuing those wrong clients. So if I was starting off today and had said like, well, I really want to service clients who are already spending money on this tool, I'd be able to say, well, they're already spending $300 a month for this tool that they're getting some use out of. I can see they are spending money. So as long as they continue to use that tool, I'll be able to help provide value to that company. Maybe I'll pick conversion rate optimization or A/B testing and start hanging out in Optimizely's forum and be able to say, well, great, I know these people are spending $100 a month for this tool. I'm going to help them use that tool better, since right now it might just be a cash drain on their finances.
Right. No, that's really strong. I was trying to think of the other example is like from the guys at the foundation, where they'll talk about, you know, mm-hmm. if we want to enter into this particular software niche, and there's like, they have, I forget what the three rules are, but one of them is definitely like, they must already be spending money on this solution, or they must already like have a proven history of buying software. Otherwise it's mm-hmm. like you're trying to sell something completely foreign to them. And then it's like, well, it's a much harder sale. It's a much harder road. So that makes total sense.
And I've been amazed how much easier it's been to sell to clients who already are used to investing in consultants than people who have never done it before. If I'm that first consultant they've worked with, there's an education that needs to happen about expectations, about results, about time frame. But if they've already experienced working with some outside practitioner, it's a lot easier to come in and propose projects, propose ideas, and get their buy-in. So it's really essential to differentiate between those first-time novice customers and those experienced customers who understand what it's like to work with someone.
Okay. So you're taking more of a pull approach rather than like, I'm going out cold calling everybody. I'm kind of setting myself up to have people come to me, you know, through my helpful advice on these forums and even at these in-person events.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Definitely. And tactically in my case, what I am just starting to do is approach local organizations like a local marketing organization or the Chamber of Commerce and say, hey, I'm a business consultant who focuses on helping people get found online, making more sales. I've put together a presentation that I think would benefit your members. So I'd love to do a free 60-minute presentation to any one of your members that's interested. How do we move forward with this? So it doesn't have the reach that the strategy of finding that online tool does, but it lets me connect with local business owners as that authority, as that expert, share advice with them, and then ideally begin a conversation with them about how I might be able to help their business.
Yeah. Have you done any of those kind of mini speaking gigs yet?
I've done a couple for local businesses, but I haven't yet through a larger organization. In June, I'm having my first one through the Chamber of Commerce.
Cool. Mm-hmm. You have to circle back and find out how that goes. That's something that is on the radar or on the list for me to test out too, as another avenue. Mm-hmm. I haven't gotten around to, you know, making those initial outreaches yet. So that's pretty cool.
Right.
How do you figure out how much to charge for, you know, for Kai's consulting service?
That's a great question. And there's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of fear around how much should I charge? What should I do? For somebody just getting started out of the gate who's saying, you know, I want to start a side hustle, I really think I help businesses, I want to be a consultant, I say, just don't wait for someone to give you permission to get started. Pick a number, get out there, and start talking with people. I don't think there's any magic that needs to happen, any permission that needs to be granted to start charging $100 an hour. As a consultant, you are providing value to businesses. You just need to make sure that the value you're providing is greater than what you're charging. But for a consultant right out of the gate who's able to help a business owner solve some problem, I think you're able to charge $100 an hour for your time.
And this is always like the pushback of like, well, how do I know I'm worth it? You know, how do I know that my value is going to be greater than $100 an hour? You know, even mm-hmm. especially if I'm in the position where I've never earned that kind of salary at my day job or that kind of hourly rate at my day job, like what, who do you think you are to be charging that kind of money, on the side now?
Absolutely. And I'd respond to the question of how don't you know you're worth that until you try it and test it. The market will respond. Let's pick on that real estate example as a client. You might say, hey, I can help these people solve a problem. I'm getting meetings with them. When they say, well, what would it cost to move forward? You put the number out there. You say, well, great, my rate is $100 an hour, and a project like this will take 10 hours to complete, and see how they respond. But you have to remember, a lot of people who are stepping from an employee role to a consultant role on the side are used to thinking about costs as an employee. Oh, this costs $10, that's too much. They're not used to thinking about costs as a business owner. For a business owner, there's definitely a step up in how much they're willing to pay for a service and what a reasonable charge is. So as a business owner, I might say, well, this tool costs $300 a month, but it solves this painful problem that's costing me 5 hours a month. If I'm able to spend that money to reclaim that time, it's worth it to me.
Right. No, and so, you bring up a really important point that we're talking about business to business consulting rather than, trying to help consumers, with their, pet grooming needs or something. Like it's got to be a business customer because they're going to have more money to spend, basically.
Absolutely. It either has to be, and you're right, I think that's a point we should have tried to make earlier. It either has to be a business customer, or it has to be a very high-end individual consumer. And I say, don't focus on the consumer market at all. Focus on those businesses. Focus on finding those businesses who have a recurring problem that you're able to solve.
Okay. Tell me about your new road mapping session. We were talking about this pre-call. I thought this was pretty genius.
Definitely. So as a consultant, historically, I've gone through what's similar to like a contractor or a construction consultant coming into a job site. You look at the project, you make a bid, you make an estimate, you give it to the client, and then work starts. I just finished rereading this excellent book, Double Your Freelancing Rate by Brennan Dunn. And in it, he advocated the strategy of charging for that estimate. And the psychological reasons behind it are, it starts a business relationship with the client earlier on. It productizes this service. So when I say to a client, we have an initial phone call, we have an initial meeting, and I say, well, great, I think we're ready to move ahead. The next step is a road mapping session I offer, and I charge XXX dollars for it, a couple hundred dollars for it. And in it, the benefit is we'll move through the problem, identify the quickest way for us to move from the problem we're at to the solution we want to see. And as a deliverable, I'll prepare a report with my insight and expertise, advising you the different paths we could take forward. So there's a real concrete deliverable there for a client I work with.
Okay.
They understand how to move forward. They have my expertise. And I've elevated this free estimating session from, hey, I'm just contributing my time to solve this problem, to a productized service I'm now able to sell to a client. And now when we want to move forward with our business relationship, we already have a contract signed. We're able to say, okay, great, we've had a positive return on this first investment. Let's take that step forward towards that next larger project. So by breaking off this free service and starting to charge money for it, I'm able to monetize time that would otherwise have gone unbilled and move into that business relationship with a client earlier on in that sales cycle.
Right. This is so cool. This is work you were going to do anyways for free as part of your customer acquisition cost or whatever. Mm-hmm. But now, hey, we're putting a price tag on it, which increases the perceived value. And you, instead of just calling it an estimate, you're calling it you're going to get this free report as to like what the next steps are be. You know, whether you hire me or whether you hire somebody else, that's totally fine. But you're free to use this, this report. What's been the take rate on that so far?
You know, I tested it with two clients so far, and each one of them has said, great, sounds excellent, let's move forward. And it's been liberating for me to see clients say like, well, great, we understand the value in that and want to pay money for it and be excited to pay money for it.
That's really cool. On the pricing thing, because you mentioned kind of this is a productized service, but earlier you're mentioning my hourly rate is $100 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Is there, there's pros and cons to doing it either way, but do you prefer to have kind of package pricing like this road mapping session, or do you kind of just stick by the hourly rate and bill clients that way?
I tell you, I have a couple of different answers to that. My goal is to end up selling them a productized service on a retainer. So they get X deliverable every month from me for a fixed cost. One step before that, I like selling my time to clients either at a project rate, we'll do X for X dollars, or a day rate. I advise people not to charge hourly, because when you charge hourly with a client, you end up fighting with them over, like, well, how much time did Step X take? How many hours did you spend on this? But when you sell your time to them in a day rate, it makes it easier for you as a consultant to schedule out your time. You know, let's say I have a contract with you. I know, okay, Monday is my day to focus on Nick's project. I'll just block out the entire day and work on that.
Okay.
I've quoted him this rate, so I don't have to worry about, well, how do I squeeze in an hour here or an hour there? Today is Nick's day as a service provider. It's easy for me to schedule, and it's easier for me to bill a client saying, hey, this will take one day to complete. This is the price for one day.
Okay. I really like that, because I learned this from our mutual friend, Virginia, who kind of had her pricing page up, and she's like, yeah, I switched from the hourly thing to these packages. Cause it's like, people don't really care about how much time it takes. They just care about the deliverables, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, you know, let's remove that pushback from the equation. Like $250 an hour, like, no thanks. You know, that sounds really expensive, but if it's, you know, $250 for, you know, deliverable X, Y, and Z, like, okay, that's, you know, all of a sudden it becomes more reasonable.
And I think there's a large point there of, as a consultant, are you in the business of selling your time or selling results? And when you switch to selling a service at a product price, you switch from saying, I'm selling you 3 hours of my time at X dollars an hour to, I'm selling you this business result, and that result costs X dollars, be it 5 minutes or be it 500 minutes for me to fulfill that.
Okay. Oh, man, this is, you're dropping some good stuff here. I like it. Talk to me about your strategy for getting retainer clients. So it sounds like you're bidding primarily on these projects, and then how are these transitioning into being retainer clients?
Part of it has been me adjusting the focus I take with my consulting practice and saying, well, if my end goal is to end up with 10 clients that I'm selling service X to, how do I re-architect what my service offering is, what my marketing funnel is to get those people? And part of it has been realizing that it's a series of steps to pick up that retainer client. So it might start off with a road mapping session and move into me saying, well, great, to best address your needs, I have this recurring service that I could offer you that costs X dollars a month. But to pick up those retainer clients, the goal is have 10 people at retainer price X on the books and then grow the agency further from there. I feel like I'm talking around the question instead of giving a specific answer. So let me know if there's something I could elaborate on that would better answer it.
No, I really like, I mean, everybody kind of like recurring revenue model is like the dream, right? And so it's trying to get to, you know, how do you transition people into kind of needing that service month after month, but still delivering? It's a fine line because you're still trying to deliver results, deliver value for them, and then be like, oh, but you need to keep paying me because otherwise this is going to stop happening or something.
Right. Okay. I think I have a better answer for it. I think, again, it comes from identifying that type of client you want to work with and that recurring problem they have in their business. And then when you identify the recurring problem, then you're able to identify a recurring service you could offer that addresses that problem. So for me, right now, my focus is working with business owners locally or nationally who want to get found online, get more traffic to their website, and get more clients. So niching into that, I could say, well, I have a service productized, link building or productized, local search engine optimization that I'll price at $500 a month. And then it's a matter of picking those businesses I want to work with, validating, qualifying that they have that problem that I can sell to them at, and presenting my solution, 3 months to start at this, with this product, as the solution to their problem. And there's an entrepreneur who does a wonderful, wonderful job with this. I'm going to mangle his last name, Nick Disabiato, the owner of Draft Revise at draft.nu. He does interaction design and started offering a conversion rate optimization service about a year ago, where he sells productized conversion rate optimization to his clients. Started at $500 a month. Now it's $1,500 a month.
Wow.
But he's been able to build this practice just saying, well, I want to have 10 clients who I'm providing conversion rate optimization services to and solve that problem for them. And I think when you start off, at least for me, when I switched to thinking from I want more clients to, I want to have 10 clients that are paying me to solve this problem with it, for them every month, it put a line in the sand, a goal to work towards. It made it easier to say, well, if in a year I want to be there, what do I do this month to pick up plus one? What do I do next month to pick up plus one? How do I slowly build up this asset of a recurring portfolio of clients that I'm solving a very specific problem for, instead of having, say, five clients in, I solve some problems for client A, some problems for client B, but I'm a marketing consultant who does a bunch of different things, when I'd much rather be a marketing or business consultant who solves a specific problem for a specific type of audience.
Very cool. Very cool. We'll link that up in the show notes for sure. So my next question is kind of like, how, once you're at this 10 client target that you've set yourself for the year, and then you talk about growing the agency beyond that, what do you do when people are, your customers are used to dealing with you, they're used to dealing with Kai, and to a certain extent, that's what they've been sold on. So how, talk about your ability to bring people on to help you, you know, deliver the value that you've promised and still maintain that relationship. I guess that's always the challenge with consulting, is like, how does it scale? How do you scale up? But I mean, there's obviously gigantic consulting companies, so it must happen somehow.
And I think that's a wonderful, wonderful question. That's a bit solved by offering a productized service or a recurring service instead of, you get to work with me as a guru. If I set myself up as like that marketing guru, I'm a consultant who's going to be able to solve different problems for you, there's no real way to remove me from the business.
Right.
My business, my brand is like, I'm Kai Davis and I'll help solve your problems. I can't bring in somebody to really take over that for me. But with the transition to selling a recurring service, the product I'm selling is, I will help you as a business owner solve problem X. And be it me who's at the front of that sales cycle, or be it someone I hire, we're still able, as long as we're able to deliver that fulfillment to the client, it doesn't really matter if it's me or someone else. So, I mean, let's pick on a Draft Revise, the conversion rate optimization service. If Nick wanted to slowly distance himself from the business and say, well, I want to hire somebody to take over, he can still be running and owning the business, but he could have the fulfillment provided by somebody else who understands the art of conversion rate optimization. So to a client, they still get that same business result, but it's not Nick's time that's being sold every month. It's a product that both pays Nick as the business owner and pays for the employee fulfilling the service. So I think that's one effective way to sort of scale or grow even further as a consultant. The other one that consultants like Patrick McKenzie, Patio 11 on the internet has done is progressively charge higher rates. So you go from charging, say, $500 a month for a service to $5,000 a month for a service. So you're able to work with a higher caliber of client, and you could grow the business without having to say, well, great, if I want to make twice as much money next year, I have to service twice as many clients, which means I probably need to hire like two more people, and how do I pay for those people? So you could really just scale up the rate that you charge. And I think it's possible as a consultant to charge 2x, 3x, or 5x your rate without needing to be 2x, 3x, or 5x better as a consultant. You just need to step up the value chain, identify larger businesses with a similar or the same problem, and say, well, hey, I have an expertise in this problem. My rate to solve it is now $5,000 instead of the $500 it was before.
That's fascinating. I'm trying to think of like how you got my gears turned. I'm trying to figure out like, okay, you know, what could I do? What could I, you know, what could I charge more for? And you know, the whole pricing thing, I mean, it goes back and forth. Like the fear is that, hey, if I raise my prices, nobody's going to hire me. Like I'm not going to have any clients and stuff. But, you know, time and time again, you hear stories of people, hey, I raised my rates and I actually got more business. Or even if I got slightly fewer customers, I was making twice as much, so I didn't have to work as much and still made the same money or more. So really, really some powerful stuff there. I'm just, my gears are turning, like I said.
And I tell you, like that point you just hit on, like if I raise my rates, I'll lose all my clients. That was a fear I lived with for years. When I started off as a client, as a consultant, I was charging $25 an hour, the same rate I made at my last day job. Mm-hmm. And now I've stepped up to charging $800 a day for my services.
Yeah.
And when I made that leap, I was like, oh man, like the next client I pitch, if I pitch them at $100 an hour, they're going to say no. And I realized like, even if they say no, there's the possibility of negotiating a temporary discount in my rate if I really want that contract. Or like if the market keeps saying like the service you're providing is not worth the higher rate you're charging, I've validated before that people will pay for it at the lower rate. So absolute worst case scenario, I scale my rate back. I figure out how I'm able to better serve the type of client I want to work for. And then when I feel like I have the knowledge necessary to justify a higher rate or the experience necessary to win these larger contracts, I'll take a stab at it again. Okay, my rate for the next client I want to serve is X dollars more an hour or X dollars more a day. Let's see where that goes. But until you, as a consultant, test it, until you say, I'm worth this, the service I'm providing is worth this, the next client I encounter, I'm going to quote at this higher rate, you don't know. And it's so easy to get caught up in your own head, the fear and the worry, and say like, oh, I'm not going to test it yet, I'm too scared. But until you actually try it, until you throw the hat out there and see, you just don't know.
You never know until you try. And that's the whole point of the show here, you know?
And I'll tell you, on that point of like getting a better client, the clients I work with now at a higher rate are infinitely better to work with than the clients I worked with right when I was starting out. Because the type of client who can only afford, say, $25 an hour for a marketing consultant has a different set of problems and a different set of expectations than the client who's willing to invest $800 a day in a marketing consultant.
Right. So true. Yeah. It's their business at a completely different level.
Absolutely. Even if I'm solving the same problem or a very similar problem, it's a different caliber of client. And that higher caliber of client means I have to work less hours, means I need less clients at any one time, and means I'm able to work with more professional people.
So a couple of things I wanted to touch on. One thing that I really like that you haven't mentioned at all is like, hey, you know, your logo is super important. It's really important that you incorporate. It's really important that you have a wonderful looking website. We didn't talk about that stuff at all. Like you can get started in this business without worrying about like the traditional, oh, I need to get business cards made. Like you can get started just with your name, basically. You know, there's no barrier to entry to doing this business.
Absolutely. And I tell you, the only reason I have a website up right now is because I just wanted to drag my feet on taking that next step of my business. And I wanted to find an excuse to like burn a week instead of focusing on growth. So I said, okay, I'll spend a week and set up that website. But even at the level I'm at right now, having a website is an essential. It's getting out there, talking with business owners, identifying those problems and seeing how you could serve them.
Well, if you're selling, that may be the exception. If you're selling, SEO services, or you're selling website optimization, I kind of want to look at your website and see how it looks and see how it ranks and stuff like that.
Definitely. And I've run into that a couple times with clients. But what I found more importantly is, do you understand the problem at hand that the client has? And do you have references from people you've worked with before?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So if you can leverage those references, and we've heard a couple of fun stories, one that comes to mind is James Swanick, who kind of, hustled his way to an interview with Jack Nicholson. And then all of a sudden it was, hey, I'm James Swanick, celebrity interviewer. And he just went to, the next level from there and ended up getting a job on SportsCenter. It was crazy stuff. Just really, really, leveraged that one opportunity to make a lot of cool things happen.
That's wonderful.
Very cool. So Kai, if you've got an hour a day to grow a consulting business as a side hustle, how do you spend that time?
Here's how I'd say you'd approach it. You'd spend the first 2 to 3 hours identifying who you want to work with. What is that type of business you think you'd enjoy working with 3 years, 5 years down the line? So that's hours 1 to 3. Hours 4 through 8, can you get 4 meetings with business owners in your community who work in that type of business? Just cold calling them, showing up and saying, hey, I want to learn more about this industry because I'm a consultant who wants to enter into it. This isn't a sales call. This isn't a sales pitch. I just want to learn more about what it's like to work in this industry and the type of problems you run into.
Okay.
And from there, so that's hours 4 to 8. Hours 9 to 12.
This is very well mapped out, by the way. Continue.
Hours 9 to 12. Can you craft a service that addresses the pains you identified in those interviews with business owners, those informational interviews? So two of them might say like, the problem we always run into is it's really hard for us to train new staff on office procedures. Like some people know this, some people know that, but we don't have a system in place. So you hear that and you say, I think I could learn enough to solve that problem for one business owner. So start off with that and say like, in 4 hours, can I put together like a prototype service offering that addresses that recurring pain? And then hours 13 through 16, contact those business owners and say, hey, I have a service I'm offering that solves this problem, this pain. Is this a pain that you have as a business owner? If it is, let me know and I'll tell you a little more about what I can do to help solve it. If it's not, that's excellent. I just wanted to reach out to you. So in those first, say, 16 to 20 hours, figuring out who you want to work with, meeting with just a small sample of them to learn what problems they face in their business, crafting a service to solve those problems, and then contacting them to try and offer that service for sale. And I think in those first 20 hours, in those first 20 days, you should be able to move through that, validate that those are people you want to work with, validate that there are problems within that industry that you can learn how to solve, and test selling some service to those people. And it might be like, hey, great. A lot of people in this industry have told me they have problems making sure their documentation is up to date. I offer a service for $200 a month. Once a month, I come in, we review the latest documentation you've put together to train people. I'll update your existing documents and store it on an intranet I administer, or like a Google Doc I administer for your office.
Okay.
It's $200 a month and it solves this problem. Would you like to buy it?
So there it is, Kai. He's just laid out his 20-hour, 1 hour a day plan for 20 days to launch a new business, essentially, and get your first paying customer. So if that's not what you're looking for, I don't know what is, man. That's good stuff.
Hey, happy to help. And I try to keep my door always open. If there's people who have an active side hustle, who are active consultants, or who are just saying like, gee, I want to test this, I want to try this, feel free to drop me an email and say like, hey, can we hop on Skype? Can we hop on email for a couple minutes and answer some questions? I'm always glad to help people try to level up. And we'll drop my email and my website URL in the show notes.
Perfect. Everybody, it's lookshiny.com. Kai, thanks so much. And we'll talk to you soon.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on. I can't wait to hear how this advice helps people. Oh, hey, one more thing. I've got a weekly newsletter I send out about business, marketing, consulting, and whatever thoughts I run into in life in general. It's really, really awesome. Really, really high value. I try to make it applicable to anybody that signs up. And it goes out once a week on Saturday. I call it Weekend Reading. And if you're interested in signing up, you could go to kaidavis.com/newsletter. And drop your name and email in a dingus and you'll be on the list. One more time, that URL is kaidavis.com/newsletter. And there'll be a link in the show notes to it if you want to find it out that way. See you later.
Awesome. If it's anything like the value that you shared here on today's show, it's going to be good stuff. Thanks so much. Wow, did you get all that? Man, Kai definitely brought the goods in this episode, and I hope you get a ton of useful ideas out of it. I know I was taking notes like a crazy person, so you can find all of those at the show notes at sidehustlenation.com/episode59. Have an awesome 4th of July weekend. Stay safe. Be good to each other. I know it's a national Independence Day, but it's a perfect reminder of the financial independence that we're all after with our side hustle. So that's it for the show. Until next time, go out there, make something happen, and I'll see you next week in episode 60. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to The Side Hustle Show at www.sidehustlenation.com.